I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. You knew that already. Thanks for joining us. Hey, there's a great show. I guess you call it a show. It's an exhibition. It's an exhibit at the Dalí Museum. It's called Outside In, New Murals Inspired by Dalí. And it opened in May, end of May. It's been up for a while, but it's so cool. And if you haven't seen it, you got to go by there and check it out. We're going to talk about it quite a bit on the podcast today. Joining me today, I have three of the, 13. Three of the 13. So 10 of them aren't here, but we couldn't squeeze them all in the room. Chad Mize is here. Laura Spencer is here. You know her as Miss Crit, too, but we're going to call her Laura. And, of course, Nicole Salgar, who is, all three of these people have painted in the 5,000 square foot Huff Family Gallery, which is the main gallery in the Dalí. This is an I don't want to use the word exquisite. It's not really in my vocabulary, but it's an exquisite exhibition because all of these paintings were done live, watching them work. And that's what was cool. And that's kind of the whole gestalt of the Shine Mural Festival is watching people create. And in this Dalí exhibit, which runs through the end of October, we got to see that. And you can, the paintings are finished now, but you go in there and my God, they're huge. And it really brings, as the title says, the outside in. It's like looking at Shine or other, you know, murals, you know, urban murals right in front of you. I said all of that without taking a breath. Hello, Chad.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Laura, Miss Crit.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
What's up, Bill?
All right, we're all here today. Somebody take this and run with it for a second. I don't know who wants to run with it, but whose idea was this and how did they find you guys to do this?
Laura.
Sure.
You got elected.
So as far as I know, this exhibit came together. It was the brainchild of Allison McCarthy, the curator of the Dalí. Mm-hmm. And she kind of collaborated with Janae Priebe, the former director of the Shine Mural Festival, to create a star-studded cast of muralists mm-hmm. to come paint inside in the air conditioning of the Dalí Museum just as summer was really starting to take off. So
it's pretty unique. This might be unprecedented that this has actually never been done, especially at the Dalí before, or I don't know, indoors like this anywhere. And I know that all of you have done a lot of indoor work too. Do you know, was there any precedent for this? Did Allison just say, hey, cool idea?
I definitely think there's been some street artists that have been brought inside of the gallery walls. If you're familiar with Art 21, it's on PBS. It's called Art 21, Art in the 21st Century. And they did a really awesome episode on Barry McGee and his former wife, who I cannot remember her name right now, but they were two world-renowned street artists that did a huge exhibition in a museum as well. So it's very rare when it happens, but it is certainly, I think, a very momentous event to bring street art inside of a museum.
Street art off the street.
Exactly.
As it were. Nicole, what I understood was that your sort of mission was to create a work that was inspired by surrealism, inspired by Dalí. And in a few moments, we're going to look at the work that each of you did, which is tough on a podcast, but follow me, we can do it. Is that what they told you? Just make up something that kind of has Dalí in it, because yours is fabulous, and I want to talk about it. Is that how it went?
Yes, we were.
Well, you got to stop giggling first.
Yeah, I giggle a lot. That was the first kind of way that they presented that idea to us, was to be inspired by Dalí, but not only Dalí's work, but also you could be inspired by the area or the Dalí's architecture mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, you could be inspired by Dalí and his symbolism and also the architecture of the building of the Dalí.
Chad, let me ask you, because your piece, among the others, has so many references to mm-hmm. so many references to Dalí works mm-hmm. and other moments in your life. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So my piece was inspired by my first trip to the old Dalí Museum.
You were about 3 years old,
I think. No, I was 16, 1992. I was in high school. I was in an art club field trip and we came up from Bradenton.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing his work for the very first time, and it totally inspired me to be an artist. Mm-hmm. So I just was inspired by so much of his work. So my piece is kind of a juxtaposition of all the pieces I really like. And then I even have the old building in my piece. Mm-hmm. So I really like the old museum a lot. Just where it was located and the size of it and stuff.
So. I was living in Savannah at the time, but we were visiting my parents who were still living here. And I remember going down there. I still have, you know, there's a rosebud in the sky. Mm-hmm. You know that one? I still have that framed on the wall. It's in our house from that trip. Can you guys talk about what the experience was like? I mean, did they sort of say, give us some ideas? Did they have to approve what you did?
Yeah, so each artist had to present a concept to be accepted into the exhibit.
So was it Allison and Janae as well?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. So Janae Priebe, who was the Shine director, she was involved, and she was there almost every day, I think. For me, the experience was like a dream.
I'm president of the Janae Priebe fan club. Yeah. So,
me too.
Oh, yeah.
Ride or die.
Yeah. So it's a little bit like paying it back for you.
Yeah. Like, well, it was like a full circle moment just to have gone and to be inspired and then to actually 30 years later to actually be like painting in the museum.
So you had to give them a concept. You didn't have to draw it all and say, you know, like Nicole, you didn't have to say, well, the lobster phone's going to be here and her feet are going to be over here. You didn't have to do that. You just said, this is what I want to do. Did you have to show them sketches?
Yeah, I did. I showed a sketch.
Yeah. When we initially sent in the application, we had to give a written concept. Mm-hmm. And then once we were chosen, we were supposed to send in like a proposal of what that looked like.
Yeah.
And how we saw it on the wall. And then also kind of list all the things that inspired our piece.
What was the process like? For me, I would have been so intimidated, the bare walls of that room. I've been in that room so many times with different things on it. And even the Van Gogh Live where everything was moved, you know, everything and all kinds of work and stuff. What was that experience like? Other than the fact that you were air conditioned and you weren't sweating like dogs all the time, which I know is a real plus. Is it intimidating? Look at this big wall. Were you able to do projections and everything like you normally do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah, somebody needs to elaborate.
Sure,
on that.
I think this was a pretty straightforward mural project. At least I can speak that for myself. I think I can speak that way for you guys as well. Where typically when it comes to murals, there's a lot of pre-planning that goes into these. Nobody's showing up at a blank wall day one and going, "What shall I paint today?"
Thank you for clearing that up.
For yourself.
We gotta properly plan because you also have to consider like we gotta get all our materials together, and you don't want any guesswork. You got a short window of time. I think we had about I think all artists had 2 weeks total to get our work painted on the wall. And I actually started a week late and then painted during the exhibition the first week. So when you're on a time crunch, you're renting lifts and you have other people counting on you to be like, what colors do you need? What materials do you need? You really have to be on your A game and have a proper plan in place. That way, when you do show up day one, that wall is not so intimidating anymore. I get hungry. I get excited. I can't wait for a nice blank wall. Oh, it's my favorite part.
How much does it change? I can remember asking countless Shine muralists this same thing out there in the sun. How much does it change from your projection, your gridding or however you do it to the final thing? I mean, do you make changes as you go along?
For me, this was the first mural I ever painted where I made a lot of decisions on the fly. Yeah. I'm usually real anal retentive, and what you see is what you get. WYSIWYG is usually how I like to do my mural projects. But because of being in the DALL-E and being surrounded, I mean, elbow to elbow with these other artists, it was like every day I showed up and I was like, oh, maybe I could fit in the museum's atrium into the window of the crutch in the cat's leg. Oh, maybe I should make a reference to the Lincoln tessellation over on his paw. So there was these moments where I made some quick and dirty decisions on the fly. I think I grew a lot as an artist. It put me out of my comfort zone because I normally like to know what I'm doing and how I'm doing it as soon as I get there.
That's good though, isn't it, to be out of your comfort zone?
It was good.
You're liable to, you know, have, you know, brain spasms in a good way, right?
Sure. What did you guys think?
Can you guys see Can you see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Describe this to me. We are now looking at Miss Crit's mural in the Dali there. I can't see it, but I have it sort of semi-memorized.
Sure.
So she's looking up her notes here.
Yes, I'm pulling up my notes.
So she can
because I made a totally ridiculous, pretentious title that was like fully inspired by Dali as well.
What is it? The three-eyed cat and the crutch?
I mean, hardly. So the title is The Divine Feline as Interpreted by Miss Crit, Channeling the Somnambulant Emissions of Salvador Dali. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted that long, lengthy, loquacious, like ridiculous title. And so the piece, of course, is homage.
I think it's a Fiona Apple album.
Yes. It might be. That tracks too.
Yeah.
But it's a giant, big old black cat with multiple eyes. It's exactly what you've come to expect from me, Miss Crit. And it references a couple of Dali's paintings. It references the Weaning of the Furniture Nutrition, which you'll remember is that nurse sitting on a shore with her back facing you, and her back is open with this crutch, and you kind of see through her body as a window. Then I'm making reference to the Temptation of St. Anthony, which is actually not a piece they have in our Dali Museum, but it's one of his most iconic pieces. It's the one where you see the really tall, lanky-legged elephants. And so I've included those in the piece, but instead of elephants, they're little mousy toys. So it's really all about this dream-like experience of a cat. I wanted to take my favorite things that I love to paint and really try to paint like Dali as well. I tried to include that weird Andalusian landscape, that kind of acidic green sky, kind of referencing sort of his earlier works as well, because those are some of my favorites.
But yet you said that it changed as you were working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you had the Andalusian sky or whatever it was you called it, which I know what you're talking about.
Totally.
I mean, was that always in the plan? I'm going to do this. Or did you like, wow, this paint looks like it could be, you know.
So the things that kind of came up on the fly were sort of visual pun decisions. I had submitted a sketch of the big black cat for review and approval. And then by the time I got on the wall, I was like, there's this window in his leg. And yeah, I could paint the landscape through it, but there's an opportunity to include like one extra little inside joke or something in there. And so I thought, why don't we bring the building into this room? And that's when I included the sort of glass Zonahendron shape of the Dali's atrium. And then I had realized in my original description of the piece, as Nicole mentioned, we had to kind of make written proposals. I had forgotten I referenced Gala contemplating the Mediterranean, which at a distance of 20 meters is transformed into the portrait of Abraham Lincoln. So that's a super famous one. I had written it in my proposal. And then by the time I drew everything and it got approved, I was like, oh crap, I did not make a reference to that. So I was like, well, we're going to tessellate this cat paw real quick. And so we were like making decisions. So that's kind of what I mean when I say make decisions on the fly. But
well, as artists, you're allowed.
It's
you
crazy. Know, right? I don't always feel like I'm allowed, weirdly. I have a very regimented way of creating, so this was definitely an opportunity to break out of that a little bit. So really, really grateful for that.
Nicole, this is your work. I'm going to bring this over. I don't know if you can see that well enough.
Yes.
But it's very long.
It
and,
is.
And languid. And that's what I would say that's what I really liked about it, was that it's just she looks... She's so languid and laid out and relaxed, but also has that look like there's something going on here. What are we looking at?
So this image actually came from a reference photo shoot that I did with three local female artists. The main woman that you see, her name is Christy Lopez, and she's also an artist here locally to St. Pete. She was part of Shine last year. So I wanted to pay tribute to Shine in that way as well. And also the photograph that was taken, this was shot inside of my art studio here actually in Gulfport. And it was Christy and Regina. She's a photographer here in Tampa. She shot the reference photo. And then I had a makeup artist. Her name is Maya, who works with Regina. And we created this image in the studio. The couch that Christy's laying on is in my studio. The mirror. So there was this, a lot of this is reference photo. And I put this together to really kind of stay true to the vibe of my own work, but then also throw in ties to Dali's work. What I really love about Dali is the surrealism, and he brings you into this other dreamlike world and a little bit of outside of your reality. And him and Gala and a lot of their mutual friends were into mysticism. So that's where you see the candelabra that's kind of floating, and also the pairs and the threes. There's three females, and there's also three candles. And mostly in seances, for instance, there always has a lit candle. And one of the women who's actually on the phone in the mirror is a tribute to my mom, because she loves Dali, and her and my dad were the first ones to introduce Dali's work to me. And she was able to come to the exhibit and see it, which I thought was super special. What I chose about this one that I thought was really neat was the lobster phone specifically, because I love that in the Dali Museum currently, they have that little exhibit, little option outside where you can pick up the phone and talk to Dali. So, and ask him questions. And I'm really intrigued by how humans find ways of communicating. And a lot of my work deals with otherworldly, like, portals. And that's kind of a lot what this is saying, like being able to communicate with another realm of sorts. And it seems real, but then when you look at it, things are floating, things are kind of cut out. So that's where I throw in the surrealism. And then on the ground, there's kind of this... It looks like everything's sort of melting, which pays tribute to how Dali would use that in his work. A lot of the melting clocks, for instance. And it also speaks to the water that's right next to the building, because it's right on the water.
Well, what I'm hearing from you is very much what we heard from Laura, which is that there's a lot of you in this, too.
Yes.
And I think that might be the trick here. You know, when I saw what Basque was doing, for example, I mean, it looks like his stuff. You know, and or Pale Horse, you know, who you can see his stuff coming a mile away, you know, which is a good thing. But it's also, you had like a cue to work off of.
A really fun little thing that I wanted to share is one of the people that worked at the Dali brought up something to me that I had completely forgotten about. During Dali, he did an exhibit, and I think it was 1939. For the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. And it was called Dream of Venus in New York. And he created this kind of fun house. And there was a room that this, I forgot his name, but he told me, he was like, this reminds me so much of a scene inside of this fun house that he had. And I had completely forgotten about it.
Wow.
And when he showed me a picture of the interior, I almost freaked out.
The mirrors. Mirrors and the candles, yeah.
Not just that, but there was like a female kind of laying with flowers and on, you know, like a whole kind of Baroque style.
Maybe it imprinted on you in a dream somewhere.
Yeah, and that's when I also felt that, you know, it was just kind of all coming together in its own way.
I did want to ask, did you guys choose the area where you were? Did they say, you're over here? Chad, you're over here? Nicole, you're on this wall? How did that work?
I met with Allison early on, and she let me pick that
one. Oh, you took the best one. Nobody else got to choose.
I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different that I had never done before. So I had never done like a two-sided wall.
Let's talk about this image of yours, because you have explained it to me before. And I remember that when I met you there, you had the book with your reference stuff.
So I was referencing so my art typically falls into like a nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. So I love that warm, fuzzy vibe. The color palette was inspired by the waterfront of St. Pete, kind of in the early 80s, like late 70s, early 80s. And then, of course, Spain as well. And then the big influence was my favorite piece, the Hallucinogenic Toreador. Mm-hmm. So that was the piece that I remember seeing for the first time. I bought the t-shirt in the gift shop. I remember smelling the cologne. They had like this lip bottle with a nose topper. And I remember the smell of that cologne. And a friend of mine actually got me that bottle during the time I was working on the piece.
Oh, there you go.
I was tempted to spray it, but I didn't. but yeah, like just the references are like all these different pieces of art that he did. What I really enjoyed was being able to go look at the actual piece while I was working for the 2 weeks I was in the Dolly. So one of the pieces I like is the First Days of Spring. Mm-hmm. And there's like this couple and this woman with like a vagina head. And so I like went over and I was like, what was the color in that again? And so I actually just walked over to the main collection and referenced the piece. And I'm like, when can you ever do that?
Who's this guy here?
That's the anteater that Dolly was on the Dick Cavett show back in the 60s. And he brought his pet anteater on and threw it in this woman's lap. And just the, if you watch the video, it's hilarious. Like, who has a pet anteater? Only Dolly, right?
I dare say it hasn't been attempted since, you know.
And then I do have reference to colored pencils in it. So there's a couple references to that. One is the Hallucinogenic Toreador has 35 Venus de Milos in it. Yeah. And the reason he painted that is he was in New York City at the time when he painted. And he bought a pack of colored pencils that was called the Venus Colored Pencil Company. And so he's referencing that. And then those little dots that you see in that piece that I referenced in mine as well. One of the docents, I didn't even know this, but he said they think that it's him holding the pencil. So it's the pencil tips when you're looking from above.
Huh.
And so at that, when I went to the Dolly in 1992 or 1990, I was using colored pencils a lot in my work. And I originally wanted to kind of deface the mural at the end with colored pencils. And I attempted to do it and I just did not like how it turned. And so that was another thing, like lore, you know, you're kind of like, you have maybe have some ideas that you edit yourself out of.
Yeah.
And so that's something, once I had finished the actual painting, I was like, I don't want to mess this up. But I finished in 7 days and I wanted to be there the whole 2 weeks. So I was pretend painting for like the last 5 days. And I got called out by some of the other artists. They're like, are you even painting? I'm like, yeah, this is black line work. I'm painting. But I just, the experience, it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity to be around these other artists, to be in this beautiful museum. And I didn't want that to end. So
that's what it was for me the day that I came in. That's what you were doing.
Yeah.
And kind of wandering around pretending to be busy.
Yeah.
And Nicole was still painting and Laura was coming in later that day. Yep.
And I was just camping out, like going to the cafe.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Chad's very chatty today.
Yeah. But it just was so amazing to have that experience and be around people that you really admire. And you know, the fact that our paintings will always be in that museum because they're just going to paint over them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So we're always going to be, our touch will be in that museum forever.
Think about it that way. So many people I've told about the exhibit are like totally shocked that they're going to get painted over. Like they're dismayed. They're completely upset. And I'm like, but that's the nature of street art. That's the nature of murals. They don't last forever. So you have to go and check out the exhibit. Yeah. But
it's up there till October
26.
26, is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say is a kind of a finale to my own thoughts about it was that the whole experience is like surrealist, you know? I mean, because everybody's work is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, you walk in and it's like a sense overload almost with trying to, you know, your brain tries to make logic out of everything and quite often fails, at least mine does, to be assaulted, and I mean in a good way, with one thing after another that's so overwhelmingly huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, the benefit is you're not outside. There's no exhaust fumes. There's no buses going by. It's not hot as hell. Laura, how's the mosaic coming?
Oh, Bill. It's coming. In fact, as soon as we wrap this interview, I'm going immediately out there to sweat in the sun. Mm-hmm. So
the Sunshine City Mosaic, folks, you read about it in the Catalyst and other places, too. It's you're going to get to the end eventually.
We're getting close. Yeah. We're making good progress. We're already through the second half. And we're doing a bunch of grout sessions. This weekend, we should be moving our kind of canopies. We have a bunch of carport covers.
Yeah.
We're moving them one final time, and then we'll be starting the center section, and hopefully mid-August, we'll be wrapping this baby up.
The center section is the sun?
It is. It's like a sun medallion. It features, in a surrealist fashion, a representation of the sun. See? Bringing it back.
Can you make a Fiona Apple title out of that, too?
Probably. But it's a bunch of oranges and orange blossoms and palmetto fronds elements that represent like this big sunshiny center. And our designer and engineer, Alex Kaufman, did something really cool with our signatures. Mm-hmm. So the three artists involved in this project, our signatures will be permanently in that tile. So we're excited for that. Yeah, it's going to be
cool. You and George and Alex have been working so hard on this.
All day, every day. Well, not all day. It's been so hot that we've really had to shift our schedules to like 4 p.m. till sunset, but we're out there every single day. I think we just did 9 or 10 days in a row. Had to take one day off because we had a pop-up thunderstorm, so we're kind of at the mercy of the elements out there. But I think it was
Alex that told me that during the hurricanes last year, that whole field was completely underwater.
Oh, there were boats in the park. It was crazy.
Hopefully not this year.
Oh, yeah. I hope not. Well, look, the way I say it, I figure in the Lost City of Atlantis, there's probably some mosaics, and so ours is going to be fine. It'll be there. It'll be totally fine. You can go diving and see it one day.
Just like the murals are always going to be on the walls at the Dalí, know, that like, you know, when the apocalypse comes and there's only roaches still alive, that mosaic will still be there too.
Absolutely.
The Sunshine City Mosaic, if you have no idea what we're talking about, it's at Park Street and I guess First Avenue South. Kind of between Central and First Avenue South.
Yeah, I think the vague address is 2400 Central Avenue.
And go out there and watch these guys work because they're doing amazing stuff. And try not to harass them, but they're lovely people and they like encouragement, and like all artists do. I'm so happy you guys were able to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And you, I know, are so busy. You've got a hell of a project you're working on. What are you up to, Nicole? What's next for you?
I just got back from a project in Grand Rapids and then just kind of gearing up for another project in my hometown of Miami.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much. Let me remind everybody that Outside In New Murals, inspired by Dalí, is at the Dalí Museum through October 26th. And it's inside in the gallery, and it's a real knockout. So check it out. Guys, thanks again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.